I have a message that I believe with all my heart God has given me, and I believe it will touch every sincere heart in the house. The title of this message is, It's Not Too Late. Luke, the first chapter, verse 5, there were in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias. And he had a wife, and she was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. Interesting people, good people. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child. Because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. It's another Abraham and Sarah story here. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Please notice verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am old, I'm an old man, my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answered, saying unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. I doubt if there is one person in this audience today who does not have something in your life or in the life of a friend or a loved one that it seems like it's too late. But you know, when Satan says it's too late, when Satan says it's all over, if you have faith in God, it's just begun. The Bible is filled with a book full of interesting true life stories that when man put forth his best effort and then turned to God, God took it from there, and that's the story of a miracle. Now, as we look at these requests and promises and history and assurances, all of this that is in this particular chapter, I mean, this entire first chapter has exploded in my heart with divine revelation. It's been going over and over in me for a number of days. It's not too late. I didn't really understand all that God meant by that. I still do not understand all that God meant by that. But as I began to meditate and pray and meditate and pray over the first chapter of Luke, I realized that God was giving me a message that will touch every person that will receive it. And listen to what God has to say today. The times. Isn't it amazing how many miraculous things happened in difficult times? The times, a day of division. We face that in our nation today. A time of difficulty. There are difficulties. A time of darkness. A time of spiritual darkness abounded on every hand. Many people are worried about the stock market. If you've been an observer of the stock market, this has been going on all year long, one way or another. So it's a time of division, a time of difficulty, a time of darkness. And we need to put our faith on the line and believe God to touch our nation and our economy and give wisdom and divine guidance and protection over the administration that has been elected to serve this land. So it was a day of division, difficulty, and darkness. Then there were two interesting people. God always has some interesting people. I'm amazed at the interesting family of God. As we've already talked this morning, two congregations, two camps, worshiping in the same auditorium. And we haven't had one cross word in the process. God has a wonderful family. And there were two people by the name of Zacharias. He was a priest. And his wife Elizabeth. Good people. Interesting people. They both were righteous, walking before God in all the commandments of the Lord, blameless. That's not bad. Good people, good faithful people, but they had no child. And that question is often asked, why is it that bad things happen to good people? Why is it that difficult things happen to those who are faithful? And oftentimes we see the imbalances of life, but God's not through yet. There's something I like about Zacharias and Elizabeth. They did not quit. They did not quit serving God. You know, some people, every little bump in the road, they just back off of God, back off of giving, back off of prayer. Well, I did that, but Zacharias and Elizabeth refused to quit serving God. Get this in your heart, people. There'll be some bumps in the road in the days to come, but get this in your spirit. No matter what comes down, purpose in your heart, we're not going to quit serving God. We're not going to give up on the house of God. We're not going to give up on trusting God. Good people, but they had no child. But they did not quit. They did not quit on God. They did not quit on church. They did not quit on one another. There's some strong things that are in this message that I'm sharing with you today. You know, Satan's biggest lie is that it's too late. And then if you won't buy that one, he'll say, but you're too unworthy. And he knows you'll meditate on that one. It's either too late, or you're not worthy, or you remember something that you've done. And that's why we've been bringing a strong message on grace for these last few days. If you don't understand and accept and receive the grace of God on the level where you are, you will never go to a higher level in God. You'll live under fear and dread and condemnation for the rest of your life. Hindsight's always 20/20. There's things in all of our lives we would have done differently. Maybe we would have made a bigger mess than we did the first time. But as I look at these two people, strong things to consider in a dark day. They refused to quit serving God in a difficult time. You know, I was just looking over in John, the 4th chapter, verse 35 this past week. And Jesus said, say not that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest. You know, God's time's always now. Over in John 11, 2, you remember the sister of Lazarus. She said, Lord, if you'd only been here, if you'd only been here, Lazarus would not have died. Let me tell you, Jesus can get there late and accomplish more early than anyone I've ever known of in my life. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Folks, get this in your spirit today. For every time Satan says it's too late, Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. Your prayer request will rise again. Your dream, your vision will rise again. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on the Word of God. Don't give up on faith in God. Don't give up on the Church of the Living God. Said, your brother shall rise again. She said, oh yeah, Lord, I know in the resurrection. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. though your promise and your vision and your dream seems to die, God is still on the throne. God's word still works today. You say, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. I understand what you're saying, but it's time for us to say, I'm trusting and I'm trusting and I'm trusting. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Romans 13:11 said that knowing the time, it is now high time to awake out of sleep. You know what God's saying to the church? Wake up! You know what God's saying to prayer warriors? Wake up! God's saying to preachers across the land, wake up! Wake the people up. Knowing the time that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what are you trying to do? Act like Jesus to the best of his ability through me. I want to talk like Jesus. I want to act like Jesus. I want to lay hands on people like Jesus. I want to encourage people like Jesus. I want there to be something of Jesus when all of us leave the room. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3 said, though the vision tarry, wait for it. Folks, we lose more things through impatience. We lose more things through quitting and surrendering. Though the vision tarry, wait for it. God sent me here to wake some of you up today. It's time to revive the vision and the dream and the promise of God that is in your life. And to do it on a scriptural basis. I'm not trying to hype you. I'm trying to encourage your faith and build your faith in God. You throw down the shield of faith, you think it's tough now, you don't know how to spell tough. You throw down the shield of faith and run from the battle, and you're going to feel some arrows in your backside as you're running. But oh, thank God, the only way to face a fight is to take that shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Let your loins be girt about with truth. Let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And refuse to quit. Yes, Satan says it's too late. It's too late for your dreams to come true. It's too late for powerful changes to come in your life. I'm obsessed with this thing today. It's not too late. It's not too late for your body to receive healing. It's not too late for God to heal your marriage. It's not too late for God to turn your finances around. It's not too late for God to take whatever is important and near and dear to you and resurrect that thing in the name of Jesus. The story of this church since 1964 has been exactly that, time and time and time again. I couldn't tell you how many times. It looked like it's been good up until now, but... where is God? Has he left town? Does he have an unlisted phone number? What's happened? But oh, thank God, I got my Bible out and got my faith up, got my hopes up, and stood one more time on the Word of God and had some folks standing with me. And before long, we were seeing a miracle in motion. There's two things that you need to concentrate on with me right now. In a dark hour, here was a man of God who kept the main thing the main thing. He kept going to church. He kept worshiping God. He kept giving to God. He kept burning incense unto God. He did what a priest would do, to worship God in spirit and to worship God in truth. He just kept showing up in the house of God. And the unbeatable combination for that is there's been many a church that's killed a preacher. I mean that. I've talked to so many ministers that have poured their heart out. And so many have come into our service and said, my Lord, this is like heaven on earth. They don't know any problems exist. You see, when you pour your heart out, people just look at you and they walk out with that same unbelieving shuffle. You wonder why they came. You wonder what's on their mind. Is anything on their mind except chicken dinner? That's what kills preachers. You cry out to God, you have a message from God, you pray, you know that fire of God's burning in you, and then you meet someone after the service that acts like they didn't hear a word you said. Well, thank God Calvary Cathedral International is not that kind of a church. By the grace of God, I thank God for it. But listen to me. A man of God who will not quit, okay? Man of God that just keeps coming to church. He doesn't quit. He doesn't back off when things don't go his way that week or that month or that year. Zacharias, he's getting older, but he just keeps coming to church. Elizabeth, she's getting older, but she just keeps coming to church. And immediately outside, while he was performing the priestly duties of praising and worshiping and giving and sacrificing to God, the Bible said there was a multitude of praying people. It's in the book. Luke chapter 1. There was a multitude of praying people. Oh, dear friend, listen to me. When somebody's leading the charge saying, let's go for God, and there's a group behind him saying, we will pray, and we're going to keep on praying, and we're not going to stop praying. We're going to pray and pray until we see victory. You're going to see a miracle of God. That's exactly what you see here in Luke chapter 1. Oh, this is good. Yeah, while he executed the priest office in verse 8, before God in the order of his course. According to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. I want to tell you, a praying church can't go under for going over. A praying people cannot go under for going over. Prayerless people are a powerless people. But when God finds a preacher that won't quit, and when he finds a praying church that won't quit, get ready, get ready, get ready. There's a miracle of God that is in motion on the way. Multitude. Multitude. That's why we're starting the new year off with more prayer. More prayer. We're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for our church. We're going to pray for our city. We're going to pray that God will send from border to border and coast to coast a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. I just got through reading some more about those revivals up in New England years ago. I'll tell you, my heart just cries out. I mean, it makes me wonder if we've ever had a move of God in this part of the country. When I realize that Charles Finney was responsible under God's Holy Ghost for over 1 million people coming into the kingdom of God. But the church stopped praying and the ministers backed off and they began to critique the gospel instead of believe the gospel. Those were the days, well, I could call a denomination that would be very familiar with you. They were the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost group of people back then. And you'd say, really? Yes, really? Charles G. Finney was a powerful, spirit-filled Presbyterian in his origin. And as I read those mighty revivals, and yet I've spent a little time up there, I wonder, how did the fire go out? What happened? Who turned the lights out? Who turned the fire off? But oh, thank God, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, God said, I will heal their land, forgive their sin. It's not too late. It's not too late for your dreams to come true. It's not too late for powerful changes to come in your life. It's not too late for your prayers to be answered. Listen to the words of Gabriel to Zacharias. Your prayer is heard. Wouldn't that make your Sunday? For Gabriel to walk up to where you're sitting in that pew and after we revived you, you looked up and saw a 10-foot angel. And after we revived you, the angel said, all I wanted to tell you was fear not. Excuse me, I'm sorry if I startled you. All I wanted to tell you was fear not. Your prayer is heard. Zacharias is going to have a baby. Oh, thank you. It's not too late. Listen to this one. It's not too late to use all the wisdom you've learned the hard way. I like that one. It's not too late to use all the wisdom that you've learned the hard way. I'll tell you, I've gleaned some wisdom the hard way. There's some ways I know not to do it. Not to say it. Not to try to live it. It's not too late to use all the wisdom that you've learned the hard way. It's not too late for supernatural breakthrough. You know, Gabriel could appear before your day's over. He's probably here today. Gabriel or Michael or any one of those great angels of God. It's not too late for a supernatural breakthrough. And I know that there's a happy side to what I'm saying, but I mean, there's some of us that are believing God for some heavy things. Some of us are believing God for some very strong, heavy things. And I'm telling you, it's not too late for Gabriel or Michael or Jesus Christ of Nazareth to appear and change your day. It's not too late to achieve the very purpose for which you were born. Some of you haven't even achieved the purpose for which you were born. You're not there yet, but you're almost there. John the Baptist achieved that at 33 and checked out. So did Jesus. It's interesting. It's not how long you live. It's the quality of life. It's what you accomplish in life. It's nice to live long, and it seems that that's in the best interest of the kingdom of God for most of us. But you know, it's the quality of your life. And I'm still firmly convinced that you have to live for a while to have enough sense to know how to live. It's not too late. It's not too late to see greater revival, harvest, and refreshing. It's not too late. I thank God for what He did a number of years ago. But folks, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. It's not too late. Not too late. Now, as I look at this particular portion of God's Word, remember that we've been ministering over and over again that God loves you, period. That's called grace. There's not one of us in this room today that merits the favor, the mercy, the grace of Almighty God. Not one of us. God loves us, period. And God has a wonderful plan for your life. That's what grace says about you. Grace says it's not too late. God does have a wonderful plan for your life. God does have a miracle. God does have a fulfillment for your dreams and your visions. John 15 is still true. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth much fruit. And then the Ephesian letter that tells us before the foundation of the world that God chose me. Get a hold of that. Before God ever said, sun, moon, stars, sea, earth, Adam, Eve, before any of that, God saw you and chose you. Now, some people say, Brother Nichols, that just really troubles me. I just don't understand the process of all that. And I have one question to ask. Are you born again? Yes. Well, what difference does it make? Are you saved? Do you know you're saved? You know your sins are forgiven? What difference does it make? It does not bother me that my all-wise, supernatural, ever-present God can look down through the telescope of time and see me preaching right here where I'm preaching today and see me born again, spirit-filled, refusing to quit just like all of you. That doesn't bother me at all. God's a wonderful God. So the question is, if that bothers you so much, are you saved? Yeah. Well, forget it. Just enjoy the journey. But I want us to look at this priest who refused to quit. This man of God who refused to quit. He keeps on worshiping God. He just keeps on burning incense. He just keeps on giving to God. He just keeps showing up at church. He just keeps believing God. And look at these people. While he's leading the worship unto God, the whole multitude is out there just, you can hear the volume of the prayers of the people. Oh, folks, we're not going to stop praying. We're not going to stop believing. We're not going to stop showing up. We're going to stay there. But this is the thing that I really wanted to get over into your spirit today. It's not too late. You see, Zacharias, he's a man of God. Zacharias and Elizabeth, together, they did not quit. They kept the main thing, the main thing. They kept on going to church, kept on serving and worshiping and giving. Oh, by the way, don't give up on church yet. Oh, I meet them every few days. We don't go to church anymore. We stay home. We're going deep. Yeah, you're going deep. You're going six under if you don't get a hold of yourself. You get strange. You get weird hanging out by yourself. We need each other. We need the body of Christ. You need what happens when we come to church. Oh, I know there are circumstances that you can't. I mean, God understands that, but I'm talking about just doing it on purpose. You understand? Amen. Now, follow me carefully, because this is a truth that has just gone over and over in my heart. Seven times in verses, Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 17, Gabriel, God's highest messenger angel, spoke the promise of Almighty God that a son would be born. Let me repeat that one more time. That was so simple you thought, well, I thought he's going to say something profound. In Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 17, I counted at least seven times where Gabriel, God's highest messenger angel, spoke that a son would be born. And let's just look. And the angel said, Luke chapter 1, verse 13, and the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, thy prayer is heard. He was praying for a son. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Okay? That's what he's praying about. And then he goes into detail and he said, and you're going to call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. I mean, it just keeps talking about the birth, keeps promising the birth. This is important, folks. Get a hold of what I'm sharing with you, because it relates to all of us. Verse 15, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Well, if I counted all the references there, we're way over seven already. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Who's he talking about? John. And he shall go before him in the spirit of the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. God knows we need that today. There needs to be a family reconciliation across this nation today. Satan's doing everything within his power to turn parents against children and children against parents. The average child ought to thank God if they have one. But reading further. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedience to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, I'm way over seven. I mean, I see more than even what I've read this so many times. But now, here we go. Let's just say with the original number seven. There's more references than that. The angel Gabriel, from the throne of God, he comes with a registered letter from God Almighty. Big Gabriel comes down, and he's got a registered letter from God Almighty, and at least seven and probably maybe 10 or 12 times, it just depends on how you read it, Gabriel says, don't be afraid. Your wife's going to have a son. Your prayer is heard, and his name shall be called John. Simple, right? Not simple if you're too old to have children. Not simple if you're well past the time of life. This man, Zacharias, was praying and believing God for a miracle. Well, that's what prayer is, isn't it? It's a miracle. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things I'm believing God for right now, and some things more important than others. Folks, this is so important. This is more than just a little pulling out a promise out of a promise box. It's time we need to know how to get a hold of God and hold on to God and believe God and hold steady in the things of God. If there was ever an hour that we need to shake off this flakiness and be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, not be blown about by every wind. As I often say, he say, she say, they say, whoever say. Some people, they feel just like whatever someone said to them last. Show me a people that have the word of God in their hand and the word of God in their heart. And they say, I believe God, period, because God loves me, period. Give God the same courtesy. He loves you, period. You love him, period. Now we're on a trail here. All right, 7, 10, 12 times, reference is made. Don't be afraid. Your prayer is heard. What your prayer is all about is Elizabeth having a baby, and his name's going to be called John. And if that was not enough, he just goes line upon line, precept upon precept. It's like someone saying, you just inherited $1 million. And then they turn around and say, let me say it another way. $1 million has come to you. Well, let me say it another way. Within a matter of hours, it will be officially manifested that $1 million is yours. And an angel just kept saying it and finally said, well, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not playing with words. I need this. You need this. We need this. This man has been pouring his heart out to God. God, give us a son. This is another Abraham and Sarah story. Do you understand what I'm ministering today? This is another Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah are too old to have children, but they received a miracle. Zacharias and Elizabeth are too old. It's too late. It's too late. No, it's not. It's too late. Well, if you'd only believed this or done this, or if you don't, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. You know, if you'd been perfect, why, all this wouldn't have happened to you. Should I dig a little bit more? There's not a person in this room today that doesn't need some kind of an answer to prayer or a miracle. Right? I think we're getting closer to agreement on that. All right. And so the angel shows up. I'm just going to work on this thing. The angel shows up. Zacharias? Yep. It's me. Fear not. Your prayer is heard. Your wife's going to have a baby. And his name's going to be called John. And then he spends a few more verses saying it every way you can say it. You know why there's so many promises in the Bible? God says it every way. God just keeps saying it every way. You might catch it one way and I catch it another way. You know, you hear a conversation, one hears it one way, another hears another way. You know, the Lord has given us exceeding great and precious promises that when you get through reading the Bible, you just have to say, I don't believe it, or I'm brain dead. Heart dead. The Bible is a wonderful book of exceeding great and precious promises. And so here's the man of God. He came to church this week, maybe that very day. He was saying, oh God, I know it's a miracle. I know it's something in my heart. People would laugh if they knew it. But God, I'm asking you for a child, a son. I know we're past the time of life. I know it's impossible. I know it will take a miracle. So what else is new? Almost everything every one of us needs is a miracle. Doesn't make a difference what your age is. I'm talking about faith. And then it just goes on. Verse 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He's going to turn the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. But get ready. Zacharias says, What do you mean, God? How can you pray this long for this kind of a thing? And God sent the best he's got outside of Jesus, Gabriel. Michael's the power angel. Gabriel's the message angel. And God sends his messenger angel and says, your prayer is answered. Don't be afraid. You're going to have a son. His name is going to be called John. And Zacharias says, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife well stricken in years. Well, what have you been praying for then? Some of us wouldn't know the answer to our prayer if it knocked on the door. Are we just talking? Are we serious about this thing? Direct prayers receive direct answers from God. The angel finally said, well, I'm Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. Oh, really? This is my card. You understand? Don't leave home without it. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. God sent me to give you a message. I stand in the presence of God to speak unto thee and to show thee these things. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. I'll tell you, folks, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we never would get prayers answered. If it were not for the grace of God, we cancel potentially so many prayers. God, send me some new business. And they knock on your door and say, well, I just can't believe you want to do business with me. Yeah. You don't really want to do business with me, do you? That's the way a lot of believers react. He said, all right, but because you believed not. Get the truth here. This is why we all have a chance. This is why we all have an opportunity. Listen, because you believe not, you won't speak until this promise is manifested. God had to shut his mouth so he wouldn't do any further damage to the promise of God. But there's a truth here. You see, his questioning of Gabriel's word from God made his tongue dumb. Be careful what you say in the presence of your angel. There's a direct verse about that in the Word of God. His response to the promise of God, his questioning of Gabriel's word from God, made his tongue dumb. But thank God for grace. Some of you thought it was all over, didn't you? You thought it really was too late. You said, I believe preacher is changing his train of thought. It really is. No, it's not too late. His grace and mercy. Help us and bless us and strengthen us even when we don't deserve it. Did you ever just do something real dumb and God blessed you real good and it just embarrassed you? I mean, God just poured out his grace all over you and you said, I don't deserve it, God. Lord, I didn't pray and I didn't give and I didn't. Lord, what are you trying to do? Embarrass me? Hey, just embrace grace and thank God for the journey. He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. And how many can say thank God for that? Now, all right, follow me now. Many times in these verses, Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 17, Gabriel's messenger, the messenger of God, spoke that a son would be born. Don't be afraid. Your prayer is heard. And Zacharias spoke doubt and unbelief. How shall I know this? And we've all done it. We've all done it. But thank God for his grace. Just as Zacharias' questioning of Gabriel's word from God made his tongue dumb, In verses 59 through 67 of the same first chapter of Luke, his agreement with God's word. Are you ready for this? His agreement with God's word. Remember, on the eighth day, they brought the child in for circumcision. And you know, religion, they've always got your future figured out for you. And so you always need a name for a baby, and they were trying to find the name, and everyone said, well, there's no reason in searching for a name. His name is Zacharias. And Elizabeth said, no. Well, let's hear what Zacharias has to say about this. He still cannot talk. They hand him a tablet, and he writes on the tablet, his name is John. It's not too late for you to declare his name is John. Stop calling him Zacharias and start calling him John. Stop calling yourself sick and start calling yourself well. Stop calling yourself defeated and start calling yourself victorious. Now listen. The moment he spoke unbelief, the angel said, that's it. You won't speak until the son is born, but the son will be born. The answer to prayer is on the way. That's called grace. And just as sure as his questioning of Gabriel's word from God made his tongue to be dumb until the day when they brought the child, the eighth day for circumcision and to give him a name. In Luke chapter 1 verses 59 through 67, his agreement with God's word released his mouth to praise God, filled him with the Holy Ghost, and caused him to prophesy. Grace and mercy made the difference. His agreement with God's word. They said, call him Zacharias. Religion wants to call everything something else. Your friends want to call it something else. Stop calling your promise Zacharias and say his name is John. The moment he said on the tablet, he didn't speak it, he said it, his name is John. His mouth opened. He praised God. God filled him with the Holy Ghost and caused him to prophesy. And for several verses, he begins to prophesy. Oh, child of God, listen to me. It's not too late to call your promise John. By faith, it's time that you do it now. Do it today. Be encouraged. It's not too late to call your promise John. Stop calling your promise Zacharias and start calling your promise John. Claim the promise. Believe the word. Stand on the word. Because it's not too late. Satan said, if you'd gotten here earlier, you're too late. You're too old. You're too young. If you hadn't had a tornado, that just really messed things up. But oh, thank God we call a tornado double. At least for a beginning, double. And I'm telling you, whatever Satan has tried to come down on you and yours with, today's the day. Stop calling it Elizabeth and start calling your promise John. Call it your promise. Call it what God said is yours. And you watch God swing into action in your behalf. All those verses, Gabriel said it every way that an angel could say it. And when he got through, Zacharias said, I'll tell you, child of God, I'm tired of my mouth being shut. It's time to open our mouth in praise. It's time to open our mouth in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's time to open our mouth in prophecy. Prophesy resurrection where there was death. Prophesy plenty where there was poverty. Prophesy fulfillment where it seemed like it was all over. It's not too late.